This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Conley bent over at the waist of the dribble, holding off Pajemski, runs him through a bump screen by Randall, pick and roll, Randall down the lane, knocked away by Pajemski from behind, bad pass Curry, Pajemski runs it down, protects it from Conley to Waters, the three, got it! Pajemski made that play by hustling down the pass and turned it into 3 points. Timeout Minnesota.
Now back to Warriors This Week on 95.7 The Game.
Well, while we help Dan DeVone out here in just a minute, you know, I think that we have some
of the... Always scary when Ken comes into the studio and beelines it right for me.
Why? Well, he's not that intimidating. Look at him. He's got a cute little beard you can just grab onto, and he's got a child's face.
I can't figure him out.
Underneath that Persian rug.
A's hat.
I got to teach you how to work your camera, Dan.
No, that'll never happen. Dolphins fan,
that
A's
I do
hat.
Believe. Dolphins fan, A's? Knicks fan.
Yeah,
what else? You like the Seattle Kraken? Or
no, I like the Bruins.
Are you a crackhead? Apparently that's what they call themselves.
Oh, really?
Crackheads.
It's a great name, the Kraken. It's a sea monster.
Yeah, I'm aware of what it is. Marshawn Lynch is a part
Meanwhile,
of
the Seahawks have the only fictional mascot in the NFL. There's no such thing as a Seahawk. I'm not sure if you're aware of that.
Really?
No.
Well, now you got me thinking. All right, vamp for a minute. I'm going to come up with one.
What?
Well,
I spit gospel. What are you going to do? Refute me?
You spit gospel. First of all, I teach you something every single weekend. You might teach me three things, but I teach you something every single weekend, whether you know it or not. You pick it up. I'm about to teach you something right now, because the 415 in the Comcast Business Text Line brings up, I think, exactly what we're talking about. We left off the last segment discussing what the Warriors are trying to go through, what they're asking Curry to do. 415, this is from Greg in San Francisco. LeBron James? Harden? Those guys are around Curry's age and play heavy minutes. Okay, well, we'll also throw Kevin Durant in there. He's Curry's age. He plays heavy minutes. Those guys are forwards, 6'6" and above, and not small in stature. Their games are also predicated on being on the ball. Curry can play on the ball, but he also plays off of it. Curry's playing style is completely different from those three guys that I just named. And so those guys, yes, can pound the rock and play slow and use their physicality in a way that Curry has never been able to do in his entire career. Those players are also not dealing with tendonitis currently. Now, Durant's been out, ankle injuries. LeBron James apparently can't hit the broadside of a barn. He's shooting worse than Pods the last 10 games, apparently. Yeah, and then James Harden's totally different.
Yeah, well, I agree with all of that. Not to mention that, well, James Harden plays on the ball, and he plays the point, and they have similar positions, but yeah, you're right. James Harden's a different sort of player, and he's 3 inches bigger. But what James Harden and LeBron James do that Steph Curry doesn't do is that they don't play. They don't play defense. They take time off while they're in a game. They load management throughout the course of a game. Watch LeBron James play basketball these days. For the first two quarters, he picks his spots when it is that he wants to run down the floor so that he has, quote-unquote, the energy to play the fourth quarter. And James Harden never plays with a level of intensity like that of a Steve Kerr. His entire career is about load managing until I get the ball and I'm open and I'll hit a three. So when you think about comparing Steph Curry to those two players in particular, Steph Curry plays ball. Steph Curry may not be the best defender, but he works and he gives a damn. James Harden is resting throughout the entire course of a game, especially on the defensive end. And the same can be true at this age for LeBron James. And you're right, Kevin Durant when you're, you know, 6'11", 7 feet, depending on who it is that you talk to, you can't compare, as I like to say, that's apples and bowling balls to Steph Curry and the energy that he has to exhibit throughout the course of a day and a game, as opposed to someone like that of a Kevin Durant. But please, miss me with James Harden, who is still playing at this age, and LeBron James, two guys who take more time off through the course of while playing in a game than anybody else in the NBA.
Well, and Steve, if we could put, I don't know what board you have in front of you, but do we have the post-game sound from last night, from the Timberwolves loss? Kerr, Draymond, do you have it ready at the... Do you have it ready?
We have all of it. You want to hear Draymond first?
Yes, I would like to hear Draymond Green, because what we're getting at is again, the Warriors asking Curry to do something that other teams don't, which is play heavy minutes, be the primary offensive player, doing it at an advanced age without a relative running mate. Well, I think the Warriors last night before the game, with their choice to start Kuminga instead of Draymond, are trying to expedite the process of elevating a running mate for Curry. And here's how Draymond took it.
I felt great physically. Yeah, definitely an adjustment, you know, just it's a group of a bunch of different guys. So it's an adjustment. Have to figure it out, but I'm up for it.
Sounds like you were part of the decision-making process to, you know, I guess, go to this. What's the rationale behind it?
Coach just called and asked me. He said it's something he was thinking about. And he wanted to know if I was okay with it. Of course I'm okay with it. You know, I have been one of JK's biggest fans since he's been here. And so if he has an opportunity to start, you can't be hypocritical. And they're like, yo, we want him to start, but it'll be for you. And you can't be like, ah, it's not for me. Like, that don't work. Like, I'm a fan of his. I want to see him do well. So if his opportunity goes through me, then it is what it is. You know, that's his opportunity, and he earned the opportunity. So that's kind of how I view it. Yeah, so that was kind of my rationale. You know, he played extremely well last night. You want to give that another look, or two or three or four or however long. If it works, then you continue with it. And so, yeah, that's kind of my rationale for me. I am a product of my vet being willing to take a backseat for me. So you got to give back what came to you. That's what this is about.
I mean, you termed it as a backseat. I mean, do you view that as it?
Yeah, so that was Draymond Green after the game talking about the decision. I hear a couple things. Number one, he's reluctant towards taking a backseat. Unless it works, and that's where there is somewhat of a clock on this entire experiment that the Warriors are working with. If you're going to feature and promote and lean all the way in on Jonathan Kuminga being the center or one of the focal points of this offense, number one, you have to give it time. Number two, you have to be okay with games like last night, because I don't know if it's fair to expect a player of his age or his capability right now, Dan, to just all of a sudden become and flourish into a 25 to 30 point per game scorer. Like, he's going to have games like he did on Wednesday, and he's going to have games like he did last night. But there has to be more of the Wednesdays if someone like Draymond Green is going to be okay with not starting.
Yeah, I have to disagree with you. I think that the idea that the Golden State Warriors have to be patient with Jonathan Kuminga and that he's still growing and that this is a roller coaster. At some point, you got to cut bait because, you know, he's 22 now. I mean, are we still going to be doing this when he's 25, 26? Jonathan Kuminga has had, I get it, it was a process of elimination a year ago, but he got an opportunity to start and play, and that's the one thing that he wanted, right? I mean, he complained publicly, or his minions did, that JK needs more time, Steve Kerr. And it was an issue we all talked about. And, you know, as it happened, you have Draymond Green, who is lost for nearly a month, and it's an opportunity for J.K. to play, and he played well. But he hasn't built on that. And now I get it. It's not because Draymond Green has been suspended, but it's because he's been elevated. I don't really care how he got into the starting lineup or how he's getting consistent minutes. All I care about is the bottom line. And the bottom line is, in year four, I'm tired of waiting. I'm tired of you giving me 33 and then 13 the next night. And maybe he'll play well against Minnesota and then disappear for a week. At what point does he turn the corner and be a consistent scorer? And if it's not going to happen for the Warriors, whether you want to believe me that it has something to do because of being deferential to Steph Curry and Draymond Green, whatever the reason is, it's either time to not give him an extension, trade him, or move off on this project, because it's not happening here with the Golden State Warriors.
But I think that's the whole point, is that's why it's happening now, is because it is time to put up or shut up. You got 2 months. I think that's what they're saying. Like, you are going to be given, the Warriors are going to basically make Kuminga what he wants to be for a couple of weeks, couple of months, however long it takes for them to evaluate and figure out what exactly this player is. And that might be unfair because other players in his class have had extended periods of time. But this is what you have. This is, in many ways, like, this is Kuminga's moment. And so if he's not good enough, well, then, yeah, you go trade him. And so I'm not asking you to be patient. What I'm asking you to, like, patience in a couple of weeks is not patience over a couple of years. The Warriors have to make a choice. And so they're doing this now to figure out what path they're going to go down with this player. So I don't look at it as being patient. They've been patient for the last 3 or 4 years. I think that's the patience. Right now, they benched a cornerstone player of their franchise to move this kid into the starting lineup to better serve him. This is the first time I have ever seen the Warriors make Jonathan Kuminga a primary focus, or one of them. It's always been him fitting around Curry, or around Draymond, or around Klay, or around Poole, or whoever else has been on this team. This is the first time in his career that he has essentially been given the keys. And so you're right that we don't have a lot of time, but this is when he's got to prove it.
You don't think he was given the keys last year?
No, I don't. Because Wiggins missed time, Draymond missed time.
But regardless of how he arrived at playing time, he was given the keys. I mean, they still needed a number two, and it's an opportunity, regardless of how he got a chance to play. To me, there was every opportunity for him to be that guy.
Well, and he scored 17 points a game as a starter and shot over 50% from the field. He had 10 straight games, which he scored 20 points.
Yet, it wasn't good enough for him to start or be relied upon as being the guy going into this season, which sort of, in a nutshell, is what it is that I'm talking about. It's Jonathan Kuminga.
But then how could you say he was given the keys if he was all of a sudden moved back to his role before? Like that. That's why I don't think that they truly leaned into him last year. They more so just plug and played him when guys were out or injured.
Well, a lot of it had to do with
his
inconsistency.
Yeah.
Because if he was that guy, you think the Warriors, who even last year were desperate for a second score, because Klay Thompson would disappear at times, they needed, needed consistent scoring. And if Draymond had been that guy, or excuse me, if JK had been that guy, he would have gotten his opportunity. It's just, this is who Jonathan Kuminga is. And then he can be really good, and then he can, he can take a step in the wrong direction. And I think he gets frustrating to a certain degree.
Well, he's frustrating. I mean, well, yeah, he's a young guy. But the other part of it is you do have to basically feature him, because the next 2 months are going to be a showcase for Jonathan Kuminga. Either they're a showcase for the Warriors to pay him whatever he believes he's worth or the market dictates that he is, or to showcase for another team because they trade him. But they've come to the conclusion that they can't wait any longer and that they need his skill set. They need him to score. This team cannot score more than 100 points. And there are very few players, because of the way that the roster is constructed, that can go and help you in that endeavor. And Kuminga happens to be one of them. And I think he's the player that has the biggest leap possible to make. I'm not saying he's going to or he will, but I guess I would ask, if Curry's taken a step back offensively, Wiggins is playing well, but even during 2022, which many people would identify as his best season, he was about 17.5 points per game, which is where he's at now. He's not going to all of a sudden transform back into the 20-point-per-game scorer he was in Minnesota. Where else are you going to find offense from?
Jonathan Kuminga.
I think that's why they're doing this.
Yeah, and I think Steve Kerr said as much. He's like, we're going to maximize. When he used the word maximize last night, I think it's exactly what it is that you're talking about. Let's just see what it is that he's going to do. It's a bit reactionary, though, is it not? He had to score the 33 points for you to maximize Jonathan Kuminga. I mean, you should... I think there's a lot of just... Either he's a guy that you just showcase, roll him out there, and maximize him a month ago, 2 months ago. Why is it that he had to score 33 before you give him an opportunity to be potentially, you know, the player that they, you know, they
because they've been losing basketball games. That's the reason why.
But I think that there's somebody out there that sees value in Jonathan Kuminga. That I have no doubt about. I think there's a team out there. So it, really what this gets back to is when you pick up the phone, which Dunleavy I think has done before, and when he does it again in a couple of months and he's on the horn and he's talking to other teams, this just simply comes down to what is it that you're willing to give up for Jonathan Kuminga or a package involving Jonathan Kuminga. That's when you really get down to whether or not you're going to pull the trigger. And it's who's going to replace Jonathan Kuminga. But I do think, to that point, that there is going to be value, because I do think there's a lot of teams that see this guy as being a budding star. And maybe are sort of, you know, along the lines of how I see it, it's just not going to happen with Golden State. But I could see a GM or a coach or a team saying, you know what, if he came here, it'd be a good fit. Like, I think if Jonathan Kuminga was with our team and fill in whoever that team might be, we could develop this guy into a perennial all-star. I do think that there's a lot of people that believe that they can unlock this guy. And then again, it just becomes, if you value Jonathan Kuminga, what is it that you're willing to give up in return?
Well, and also what you're willing to pay him. I mean, that's...
Well, if you value him, then you're going to give him the 30 to 35 mil per.
But he wants more than that, evidently. Like, the gap was 30 to 35, but he might decide that the price of the brick's going up. Like, what you're trading for is a player that you have to sign because he's a restricted free agent. You know, I think it's also plausible that this offseason the Warriors decide that they want to sign and trade him and basically have another team dictate what they want to pay him. But right now, Kuminga is, you know, what, $8, $9 million? He might be the centerpiece of the deal, but if you want to go out and acquire a big-name player, you're going to have to attach other big salary. I mean, it's not like the Warriors have a ton of players right now making large money. You know, so if
Andrew Wiggins would once again have to resurface.
Well, yeah, but and I'm not opposed to that, but are you really going to trade both of your wings?
It all depends, again, on what it is I'm getting in return.
I think it's a lot. I think the Warriors are stuck a little bit because of some of the decisions they made this offseason.
Yeah.
One of which hard capped them at the first apron, and you don't get anything from that player because Melton is now missing the season with an ACL. But they're in a tough spot as far as going out and making a big move. Like this idea that, and Sham Sharani has said the other day that they want to acquire a star. How? A star makes between $40 and $55 million.
Well, Wiggins has got to be part of that deal. If you stay on this trajectory where a month or 2 months from now we're doing this show and the Warriors are a sub-500 basketball team, it makes those decisions a lot easier.
But why would you go trade for a star if you're a sub-500 basketball team?
Well, because you're looking to resurrect things.
Yeah, but to me that's like trying to plug a hole into a boat when you got six leaks. Like, to me, you go and acquire a star if you're a star away from contending. I don't think the Warriors are all of a sudden one star. I mean, maybe there's multiple players out there they could go get. I just I don't see the way that the... I think the Warriors are trying to figure out if they can solve this thing internally before going out and shipping off pieces.
Yeah, but if they stay on this slide, and this is a sub-500 basketball team, do they just stay with the status quo and just say, okay, we'll just chalk this up to a losing season?
Well, you're assuming that they're going to continue to lose 6 of 7.
No, I'm just saying the way they have played over the last, we're going on nearly a month now. If this is the way the Warriors, if this is the road they're headed down, where they sort of, you know, exceeded expectations and were playing beyond their skis in the first month of the season, that this is more of sort of who they are, then when it comes to the trade deadline, are you saying if you don't want to go out and make a drastic change to try and turn things around, that we're good with sort of who we are, and that is a losing team? Is that something that Joe Lacob, Dunleavy, and Steve Kerr, are they playing for the future? That, you know, this is, do they get in line for Mr. Flagg, or is it this is a team that's looking to build through the draft? I mean, what's the direction if this team continues to lose, if you're not going to go out and get a star at the trade deadline?
If you're a sub-500 basketball team and you go and acquire a star, you're shipping off your future, because you're probably including young players. You're also including draft picks. I mean, to me, the worst decision to make would be to be a sub-500 basketball team and try and go acquire a star. I mean, I think that's why you didn't want to do it this summer with Paul George and Lauri Markkanen.
Yeah, no, I'm not a proponent of it. I'm just saying, what are the options then? So then if we're not getting that star and you're a losing team, then you just ride this out with Kuminga and an underwhelming, you know, Kuminga and Wiggins and a team that's just simply not very good.
Well, I think the question they have to ask themselves is, are they closer to the team that started 12-3 or the team that's lost 6 of the last 7? Because they're probably somewhere in the middle, but is that good enough? You know, if they're right now a 6 seed at the end of the season, then they might be a star player away from having some action. I also think that Curry is a big part of this too, because if Curry is still the guy that can be the closer and the best player in a playoff series, and you believe that, well, then maybe you owe it to him to try and go get a big boy. But if he's the player that's dealing with achy knees and can't play back-to-backs and is averaging 22 points a game or 23 points a game, which he currently is, then acquiring a star might not be the best way to go. You know, I think in many ways the rest of this season does depend on the health of Curry and Draymond, and I think that's another part of why they decided to move Draymond to the bench, is to try and keep him more fresh, because he's got this calf injury that, according to him, he's apparently worried about. You know, they have to juggle so many balls right now. It's like they have to juggle the load management of their aging stars. They have to juggle the ideal emergence of another promising player in Kuminga. And they also have to juggle this idea of whether they want to still play 12 at a time. Because you can't really help everybody, or you can't help one individual if you're trying to play 12.
Yeah, but I don't think that any of this should surprise anybody, especially the Golden State Warriors. You can't tell me that they couldn't anticipate that Steph Curry at some point, after all the basketball that he's played, including the Olympics and that remarkable show that he put on, that the Warriors couldn't foresee all of this.
It was 2 games, though.
But he's 37 years of age. You mean to tell me you don't think that the Warriors, at some point, it danced in their head that, you know, he may go down with an injury, or there's going to be a time where he's going to miss some games? And, I mean, 37 years of age is 37 years of age. So I think the idea that suddenly he has crickety knees is not out of left field for the Warriors. Not if they're the sort of, you know, intelligent sort of executive branch that we think they are. Like, you can anticipate that Steph Curry was going to slow a bit. He's shown signs over the last couple of years. And then the idea that this roster going into the season, that you were going to play 12 guys, I mean, you knew that was going to be problematic at some point. I don't think any of this should be a surprise to the Golden State Warriors that, oh, all of a sudden Steph Curry is playing like a 37-year-old, and, you know, we have a roster that's of 12 or 13 guys. How is that sustainable? Those have been questions right from the jump.
Well, but again, and we can continue this conversation on the other side, these things weren't problematic when you were 12-3 and you beat in a single week Boston, Oklahoma City, and forget who is the other top dog. Maybe it was Dallas. Like they show that they could beat good teams. I mean, they've had a 4-1 road trip against some of the elites in basketball. So I hear what you're saying, and these are all things that they got to consider. But to me, the start of the season
was a surprise, though. When you admit, I mean,
well, it was a surprise. But you win 12 of 15 games. That's not exactly easy to do.
Yeah, I guess going into the season, the Warriors should have been able to anticipate a lot of this.
All right, 888-957-9570 is the number. Scott in Redwood City, I see you. Priest in Palo Alto, I see you. We'll take your calls on the other side of Warriors this week. Dan Devone, Evan Giddings back after this on 95.7 The Game.
Steps around Kyle Anderson. Finger roll. Won't go. Payton with a rebound. In traffic. Lost the ball. Curry picked it up far sideline. With DiVincenzo on his back. Curry snaps off a pass. Payton goes up. Left-handed. Good! And a foul!
Now back to Warriors This Week on 95.7 The Game.
All right. Halfway home. Starting to get a little...
You know the silver lining? Testy. Silver lining in all of this?
The playbook?
That was with
Jennifer Lawrence.
Jennifer Lawrence. Oh, yeah. Sports Talk Radio. Yeah. Good show.
I know.
No, is it the Lakers suck? So we can take solace in that.
See, all right. This is you and I were both on this. I think you know how to read head coaches, I think, a lot better than I do. I just didn't believe that a podcaster could all of a sudden step into... I know J.J. Redick is a former player. He's, I think, a smart basketball mind. But I didn't see it from the jump. And that's where I struggled, Dan. It's like, I understand why the Lakers are coming back down to earth. If you look at their win streak when they were putting together Ws, they didn't beat any good teams, or they beat teams that were riddled by injury. I struggle with the Warriors because I do think that winning 12 out of 15, even into the beginning of the season, that's a significant enough a period to lead me to believe that the Warriors can summon that level of basketball in the future. Also, what the hell is going on with you and Ken?
He misses me. So well, he comes that, in every... He makes excuses to come up and sidle next to me.
Well, I'm going to get him a cot the way that he's been over there.
Well, I told you because it's... Oh, that's so funny. He just put the Zoom thing up, and after chastising me because I would always click out of Zoom. I know people at home have no idea what it is I'm talking about, but...
Well, they do if they're watching on YouTube because your face just left.
I'll admit, I am technically challenged. I don't like any of this.
But you help build apps.
I don't. I get investors. And then we hire this team from Pakistan. They build the damn thing. Are you kidding me?
So your job is just to kind of schmooze and booze all the big wigs and all the techies, bring people together?
Yeah, no, I got to find people...
You're a leader.
...that want to invest. And
kind of.
It's sort of, it's fascinating, sort of like having to learn. I mean, you have to have some sort of an idea of how all this thing comes together if you have a startup involving an app, especially a sports tech app.
So you kind of learned by doing.
But I don't do any of that. Like, that's not even in my department. But you do when you sit down. At some point, there's some crossover where you have to sort of have, you know, like when I was involved with a startup that was dealing with concussions, I had to learn all about concussions. And I had to learn and break down CTE, and I had to understand about the water tank and all of these things that happen and deal with neurologists and interview these sort of people. So
that's why you struggle with Tua.
Okay, let's not go there, please.
Yeah. I don't want to bring Kane back in here, and this time he actually might be mad at you. All right, 888-957-9570 is the number. Evan Giddings, Dan Devone, Warriors This Week, 95.7 The Game, every single Saturday from 9 to noon. Let's go to Scott in Redwood City. He's been hanging on patiently. Scott, How's your Saturday morning? What's going on?
Hey, guys. Doing great. Love your show. Listen every Saturday morning at the gym, and you guys are on a roll. But wanted to tell you, say a couple of things. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You know, Steve Kerr has forgotten more about basketball than I'll ever know. But I don't understand this yo-yoing of Steph Curry back and forth, 3 minutes in, 3 minutes out, 6 minutes in, 6 minutes out. I want to suggest something radical. And at some point in time, we all know that Curry's going to come off the bench. And I would suggest that it start now. And if you bring in Curry and Draymond Green off the bench for the last 6 minutes of every quarter, that means, number one, they'll be finishing the game together. It also means that it'll limit their time to about 24 minutes a game. And it also means that they'll mostly be playing against bench guys. I think that it's got a chance of, especially if anybody's going to do this, it would be Steph Curry if it helps the team. So just want to get your thoughts.
Well, thank you. Appreciate that, Scott. Look, I don't think that it's out of the question that by the end of his career, someone like Curry comes off the bench. But really, when I hear that suggestion, it makes me think, Dan, that... And the Warriors had this problem last year. It's that they don't have starters. They don't have enough starting lineup caliber players right now that can start and close. Like, let's take the game against Denver that a lot of people felt like they blew a couple games ago, right? Denver knows exactly who's in their starting and finishing five. It's Jamal Murray, it's Christian Brown, it's Michael Porter Jr., Aaron Gordon, Nikola Jokic. Those guys have played together, those guys have won together. That's four out of the five were on the floor when they won the championship. A lot of teams have figured out who their starting and finishing fives are. The Warriors have not to this point this season.
I would agree with that, but I would say that was much more plausible early on in the season. Again, it's just the tale of who they were in the first month of the season to where they're at right now. And when Buddy Hield was scoring the basketball, you can entertain things like that. Although I would push back on the caller if it's about load management or making sure that you're not overusing Steph Curry. He's limited to well under 30 minutes a game this year, and he closes games regardless. The only problem with that, if he doesn't start, he could be down by 25 points, especially the way the team is playing these days. But, you know, getting back to the Warriors in the beginning of the season, you could, I think, entertain that. And, remember, there were games where Steph Curry wasn't the leading scorer and Steph Curry wasn't even very good because Buddy Hield was just going off. And the Warriors had other options. But the one question that we would banter about is this sustainable? As much as people didn't want to hear about it, is this something that can last throughout the entire season? And as we're finding out, the answer to that, unfortunately, is no.
No, I think not. Sorry about that. No, I think, look, the Warriors are trying to throw stuff at the wall right now and figuring out if it sticks. Again, we talked about this in the last segment. I think the reason why Kuminga is being elevated into the starting lineup is as much about trying to figure out what they have in this kid before they have to either decide to pay him or trade him. Or I guess they could potentially let him walk. I don't think that'll happen. But it's also because they're trying to figure out how to get out of this slump. You know, you have no reason to adjust things when you're winning. When you're losing, everything's on the table. And I think that's also how you get the buy-in of someone like Draymond Green, where you kind of sell him on, look, this kid's next up, and our season in many ways is going to be dictated on how good he can be. And it's unfair to ask him to grow up in 2 months, but that's the point we've kind of gotten to. With Curry's minutes, I also think they've experimented. You know, when Scott was throwing out the 3 minutes here, 4 minutes there, you know, if originally it's Curry plays, what, back in the day he plays the full first quarter, plays the first 12 minutes, eventually ends up around 33 or 34 minutes per game. This year he's been under 20, or under 30. You know, they tried, I think, against Denver to play him 4 and 4 at the beginning and end of quarters. I think they might mess around with his minutes again because you just kind of have to. But I am worried that the Warriors are more focused on load managing Curry and Draymond, because those are and have been your two best players. And if you're concerned about their health and how much they're being used, well, then you're going to run into problems unless the rest of those rotation guys, which were hitting shots and scoring and playing defense for the first 15 games, if those guys don't play to that level, it's not going to work.
I guess if you were to sit back and sort of look at the Warriors and where they're at right now and sort of the difficulties that they've dealt with over the last couple of weeks and the struggles that they've had, really at the beginning of the year, should any of us be surprised? And as far as Steve Kerr groping to find a starting lineup, look at who it is that he's dealing with. I mean, Kyle Anderson, you know, good player, but not a star. Buddy Hield, we've talked about him. Trace Jackson Davis, Jonathan Kuminga, Kevon Looney. Go right on down the list. The Moses Moody's, the Gary Paytons of the world, the Brandon Podziemskis. These are Pat Spencer. What are we doing here? Like, when you're thinking about the team you took on last night, you could just clearly see, just visually, that one team was long and athletic and proven with Naz Reid and Ant-Man and Gobert and Stars. Same holds true when you play OKC or any of these other teams, and the Golden State Warriors are trying to cobble together something here that's just well short of pound for pound being able to match up with other stars that teams have, and the Warriors just simply don't. At the end of the day, you're trying to make, you know, the old lemonade out of a bunch of lemons, something like that.
Well, I think you can make lemonade out of lemons.
Well, you know where I wanted to go with that, but it was,
Wasn't it? It's something like, I don't know. You can't make lemonade if you don't have lemons or something like that. I don't know. I think what we're trying to get at, somehow, some way, help us, 888-957-9570. Like freaking...
You're trying to make lemonade out of lemons. Did I just say that?
Yes, you did. Well, they are. Lemons might stink right now. They're not ripe. But the Warriors have a talent-deficient roster. I think that's...
Yeah, and you,
kind of
I guess
what
my point
what
is
we're getting at.
You can only dress it up for so long and fool people. At some point, at the end of the day, you are who you are.
Yeah, you can put lipstick on a pig. It's not, you know. No, like, if I'm wearing nice clothes, which I happen to be because I got to go out later, I can only look so good. If I'm ugly, then putting a tuxedo on... Thank you. Well, I don't know if that's really a drop. If I'm ugly, putting a tuxedo on me is not really going to help that much. I might look better than I am, you know, when I'm in a wife beater in some sweatpants and I haven't shaved in 3 weeks, but if I'm trimmed up, I can only, you know what I'm saying? I can only get to a certain level of a visual aesthetic, Dan, as someone who's been on television for 20 years. You know, some people got a face for radio.
Yeah, you just took this analogy and got very personal about your looks there.
Well, no, I'm confident who I am.
Yeah, you're a good looking guy. I think you dress it up, you could be a top two seed.
Thank you, Dan. All right, let's go out to the callers. Get us back on track. If you got some quote about lemons, we'll take that too. 888-957-9570 is the number. Let's go to Priest in Palo Alto. Uh-oh. Wants to talk about Kuminga. Priest, how are you? Long time no talk.
There you go, Priest.
Yeah, pretty good. How you doing, man? Thanks for taking my call. Listen, I put all this at the feet of the head coach. This is an absolute act of desperation. He's been yo-yoing and pushing this kid and doghousing him for 2 years, playing Anthony Lamb over him, almost making a joke out of the situation. Now, he's got nowhere to turn. So he's turning to him and saying, we need you to do this in a couple of months. We need you to prove yourself right now because I need you. You know, we've been talking about this for 2 years, that this is going to be the eventuality. Steph Curry was not going to be able to do this into his 40s. It was obvious. after the 22, when they won the championship, it was time to make a transition. They initially, in that year after that, they were going to lean into the young guys and get them ready. He abandoned ship the first 10 games because it was 3-7. And this is what he does. He jumps from one thing to another, trying to solve problems that he created. And so now you got this young kid who's an obvious talent, and he's messed around with him and messed around. Should have did this last year. Now he's in a pickle. So he's putting him on the spot and having him do something that he should have did over the last year and a half. Okay? So Kuminga, I think, will show that he's capable of carrying this. But at the same time, this is Steve Kerr's bid. He made it. He needs to lie in it because it's a house of cards. Steph's knees, they're going to downplay that as much as they can. But Steph shouldn't be playing more than 25 minutes a game. And he should be closing, not trying to carry the team. But they don't have a team to carry them. They got a young kid. They got the two wings. They got a guard, a shooter, who's streaky as all get out. It was a house of cards to begin with. Now Draymond is back. See, this is what happens when you kick the can down the road and keep kicking the can down. Eventually, you're going to have to pay. You might not pay now. You might pay later. But you're going to have to pay. And that's what's happening.
Thanks, Priest.
Good call.
Yeah, I think so. You know, if you're going to put it at someone's doorstep, yes, the head coach, like anytime players don't develop, you know, I think people look at them. You know, I think also some of this is on the front office, you know, selling us this bill of goods that we haven't really seen. He's right, though. It is a desperate act. And I think it's also one that the Warriors have been hoping that Kuminga would eventually get to, but you start losing games and you don't have anywhere else to turn to. I don't know about the previous years, though. That's where I guess I would be different from Priest, is that it's really difficult to prioritize a young player when you have at times three different Hall of Famers on your roster. You know, like I think Klay Thompson, he was four Hall of Famers last year because Chris Paul was also there, though he wasn't as much in the starting lineup. It was harder to make him a priority over those guys. It's just the pecking order of things. I know he brought up Anthony Lamb a couple of years ago, and that's certainly fair. But I don't know if Kuminga was ready a couple of years ago, and we're going to find out if he's ready now.
Yeah, good call by Priest. I wanted to go after him for, you know, James Wiseman.
He's
the biggest James Wiseman fan. But and sometimes I butt heads with Priest, but that was really well thought out, and I think it carried a lot of merit. And I'm the last guy that wants to get after Steve Kerr, and I think it's an easy target to get after a coach. We don't want to bottom feed, especially when a team is struggling. But I do think that there's something there to that. And I would bring up last year, because there were moments where you could see that Jonathan Kuminga was a impactful basketball player, and then for some inexplicable reason, he wouldn't play. And Jonathan Kuminga maybe was a bit immature, but you know, he called the coach out and said, "What's going on here? Like, why am I not getting more run? I'm playing well." And as a result, Steve Kerr played him, and as a result, Jonathan Kuminga responded. This gets back to what it is that I said in the beginning of the year, or the beginning of the show, is like, this seems to be sort of reactionary on the part of Steve Kerr. He scores 33 points, now I'm inserting him into the starting lineup. I think to Priest's point, if you're a coach, you should recognize that somebody you took in the lottery, at some point you have got to have some faith in and let him play and play through his mistakes so that he's not, does not have his head on a swivel where if he's missing a couple of shots, has a couple of turnovers, he's looking back at Steve Kerr waiting to get yanked. Like, that's the relationship between the two. And I think what Priest is trying to illuminate all of us is that in order for him to be the sort of player that we all envision that Jonathan Kuminga could be, this commitment to him getting to the starting lineup or getting regular minutes every night so that he can potentially be that star is a commitment that maybe Steve Kerr should have arrived at a lot sooner than this.
But I think it's unfair because we're assuming that Kuminga was this player 2 years ago. I don't think he was. There were times in which Jonathan Kuminga looked like he was a deer in headlights, where he didn't know where to go, didn't know what to do, and maybe most importantly, 2 years ago, wasn't as effective of a player when he played with Curry as he is now. And some people are still talking about the fact that, you mentioned it off the top, that he's deferential. You know, he's hesitant when Steph is on the floor because there's a different pecking order. Three years ago, it was Curry, it was Clay, it was Dre, it was Wiggins. That's a lot of different mouths you got to feed in different ways. I'm sorry, Kuminga's not a priority on that basketball team. He's just not. So asking the head coach to basically lean into a 21-year-old, sure, could he have done it better? Yes, I'm not saying Steve Kerr's perfect. But selling that to Steph Curry and Draymond Green, I think is just something that we gloss over. Like, if Kuminga makes his mistakes, yes, he's better for that. Curry doesn't want to babysit. Draymond Green didn't want to babysit 2 years ago. You know, like, they would rather play with those veteran players that they came in and know that they have previously won with. I think that's a natural thing to expect. And if you're Steve Kerr, are you choosing your Hall of Famers, or are you choosing this unknown entity that, yes, was a lottery pick, but hadn't shown you enough to just give him the keys? Yes, the Warriors are in a place now where they basically have to lean into him because they have no choice. They can't score the ball. Only Curry, Wiggins, and Kuminga are consistent enough to score the basketball for this team.
I think my point is that, I'll forget about 2 years ago, last year, I think there were times where he came into his own and it was just inexplicable as to why he didn't play. He would play well, and then he'd get DMP'd. And it got to the point where I was with, you know, the kid's making some sense here. Why isn't he getting run? Like, I to your point, there have been, you know, there have been times throughout his career where it's like, you know, it's clear that you're still too young for this, especially for a team where we're synonymous. We're built for winning titles. And you're dribbling into traffic and this thing is not slowing down for you. And we don't have the time to nurture you, all right? We're looking to win a title now, not 5 years from now, like that of Detroit or Orlando or some of the other teams 2 years ago. But last year, I think it was applicable when you looked at the Golden State Warriors to what it is that we're saying this year, that it was a team that needed a number two score. It wasn't Klay Thompson, although he played well, but somebody who could be that guy in clutch moments that was a consistent number two to Steph Curry. And Jonathan Kuminga showed glimpses of being the guy that, again, that they drafted number 7 overall. And yet, I think it's just sort of pervasive that there isn't a level of confidence in the part of Steve Kerr going back to last year. And I think if he leaned in on that a little bit more, that you wouldn't have this player who his confidence is shot the minute he misses his first two shots or turns the ball over. He knows that the clock is ticking before he has to go and sit next to Steve Kerr. And I think it's just, it's that. It's the rapport between him and the coach. Forget about Steph Curry and Draymond Green. That just accentuates things. I don't think that there's a level of confidence with Jonathan Kuminga in his game because I don't think he senses there's a level of confidence with Steve Kerr and the young player JK.
Well, I don't think Kerr has necessarily had the confidence in a ton of young players outside. And maybe that's why people are so pissed at Pajemski. They feel like he has the confidence that someone like Kuminga and Moody, for that matter, were never afforded. I do think that there is room for criticism with how Kerr has handled Kuminga. But to me, it's also we've gotten to the point where, okay, this is what you wanted. If you are truly of the belief that they have mishandled Kuminga and not prioritizing him to this point in his career or last season, for example. Now you got it. This is what you wanted. It is put up or shut up time for both Kerr and Kuminga, and the Warriors got to figure this thing out. 888-957-9570 is the number. We got some calls we got to get to on the other side. Apologies. We'll get to Raven, Frank, and Scott on the other side of this commercial break, but we got to hit one right now. Evan Giddings, Dan Devone, 95.7 The Game. This is Warriors This Week. We're back after this.